Welcome back. I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. 18 years ago, California voters passed a law that became known as Three Strikes. The Three Strikes law allows a person to be sentenced to 25 years to life in prison if he or she has already had two serious or violent felony convictions on his or her record. The third crime for which the offender can get locked up for life must be a felony, but it can be minor and nonviolent. There are about 3,000 prisoners in the state who fit that category. If Prop 36 passes, those people would be allowed to petition the court for a new reduced sentence. Critics of the Three Strikes point out that the state now houses too many inmates doing time for nonviolent crime and spends about $100 million a year on this needlessly. Supporters of the Three Strikes law say it deters and reduces crime and keeps repeat offenders off the streets. Three Strikes was introduced in 1994 by Mike Reynolds, whose daughter was murdered in Fresno in 1992. And Reynolds is now one of the leading voices against Proposition 36, which will come before California voters on the ballot this November. So where do you stand on the Three Strikes law, and what do you want to know about how Proposition 36 would change it if passed? And I also want to mention that for the first time, Californians can now register to vote online. And joining us to talk about this and to have a debate on Prop 36, we have Gary Lieberstein. He's the district attorney for Napa County. He is also serving as a vice president of the National District Attorneys Association, which is opposed to Proposition 36, and he co-chairs the National Victims Advocacy Committee. Welcome, Gary.
Good morning, Holly.
Mike Romano is director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School, where he is also a lecturer, and he is co-author of Prop 36 and therefore a proponent. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have on the line from Southern California, Rena Palta, who is a crime and safety reporter for KPCC. Rena spent the past few years reporting on California prisons, jails, law enforcement agencies, and focusing on how crime and criminal justice impact communities. Before moving to Southern California from the Bay Area, she launched The Informant, which was a digital collaboration between NPR and KALW. Good to have you back, Rena.
Hi, Holly. Good to be here.
All right, well, let's go ahead and start with you. Can you give us a quick rundown, Rena, on what Proposition 36 would actually do? How would it change the Three Strikes law?
So I think voters might remember back in 2004, there was a proposition on the ballot, Proposition 66, that would have also amended Three Strikes, though that proposition failed. So that was a much more ambitious overhaul of Three Strikes. So in contrast, Proposition 36 would really just alter who could be sentenced to life in prison on their for a crime in California. So it would basically alter the fact that Three Strikers currently, I'm sorry, let me start over again. Basically, far less people would be eligible for life in prison. If your third strike was not a serious or violent felony, you would no longer be eligible for life in prison.
And who and how are we defining the serious or violent part? That's what's confusing to me.
So that's defined by California's penal code currently, and that would not change under Proposition 36. I think you'll probably hear later from some other folks who are present why they disagree with that fact. But that's currently in California's penal code, and there are definitely some very serious crimes that are not considered serious or violent by the current penal code.
Like what?
Like elder abuse and some forms of child abuse, involuntary manslaughter are not considered serious or violent crimes.
And can you give us a snapshot of who we're talking about? These roughly 3,000 prisoners who were sentenced under Three Strikes, but whose third offense was so-called nonviolent. What kinds of things are we talking about? Who are these people?
So, again, this could be for a broad range of crimes. There's definitely examples of people who are sentenced to life in prison under Three Strikes for things like stealing golf clubs from a country club or stealing groceries from a corner store. On the other hand, you do have folks on the other end of this, which are people who have been convicted for things that maybe voters would consider a little more serious, like elder abuse. I think it's important to note that these people would be eligible to have their sentences changed under Prop 36, but that would really have to go through the court system again. So it's not an automatic get out of jail free card.
So you have to then, so if Proposition 36 were to pass, you would have to then petition the court and have your case looked at again.
Is that accurate?
Precisely.
Okay. So let's get into a little bit of the debate here with Mike and Gary. Why don't we start with you, Mike? So you co-authored this proposition. Why are you supporting it? What does it do?
So under the current three strikes law, California is right now imprisoning people for life sentences, imposing life sentences for crimes as minor as petty theft of a pair of socks, simple possession of a joint of marijuana, or other small amounts of drugs. These are not exaggerations. These are people that I actually represent. So these are life sentences. These are sentences that are harsher than for murder or rape in California. And right now we're under, you know, a court order from the United States Supreme Court to release tens of thousands of inmates. These people have already served a dozen years in prison. They pose no risk to the community whatsoever. Every study that's looked at whether life sentences for non-serious, non-violent crimes contribute to crime reduction have shown that they do not. So Proposition 36 really restores the original intent of the three strikes law and keeps its core mission, which is to preserve life sentences for serious and violent crimes. Proposition 36 keeps life sentences for serious and violent crimes. It also provides enhancements for repeat offenders of non-serious, non-violent crimes. So even petty thefts or drug addicts will get doubled the ordinary sentence, basically up to 10 years for these minor crimes, which is still more than rapists and murderers, but it does not impose life sentences for these crimes. And as the reporter said before, nobody will get out of prison unless a judge finds that they're no longer an unreasonable risk to public safety. So Proposition 36 is really a modest, conservative reform to the three strikes law. It's supported by the leading law enforcement officers in California, including Steve Cooley, who's the Republican district attorney from Los Angeles County, George Gascon, who's the district attorney from San Francisco, Jeff Rosen, the district attorney from Santa Clara County, the chief of police in Los Angeles. And it's really an unprecedented bipartisan support to criminal justice reform in California.
All right, Gary, so you do not want to reform the three strikes law as Prop 36 would do. Why not?
Well, first of all, it's reform that's not necessary. And the reason for that, number one, three strikes is working. It's doing exactly what was intended. The intent of the legislation, what a lot of people don't remember back in 1994, is that before the initiative even was passed in November, there was bipartisan legislation, something which is sort of an oxymoron these days, that term, but this was overwhelmingly supported in the legislature, signed into law by Governor Wilson in March of 1994. The stated intent of the section of law, Penal Code Section 667, subsection B, says specifically, it is the intent of the legislature in enacting this law to ensure longer prison sentences and greater punishment for those who commit a felony and have previously been convicted of serious and or violent felony offenses. It never said we're only putting away people that are going to be serious or violent current offenses.
Well, let me interject really quickly, because I remember the debate around this, mm-hmm. and what the voters, I believe, understood was that this was about getting serious and violent offenders off the streets.
Well, absolutely. About getting serious and violent offenders off the street. And the point of that is that what a lot of Prop 36 is focusing on is, what did they do lately? Okay, what's the most recent offense, and is that serious or violent? And as we've already heard, there are a number of offenses that are not categorized under the Penal Code as serious or violent that many people would disagree are quite violent, and we can get into that and further in the discussion. But my point is, first the legislation passed, then the initiative passed in November 1994, and at the time, even the opponents of the initiative admitted that it wouldn't change current law. The law had already been initiated, and the stated intent was exactly the same. In fact, there was a California Supreme Court case, People v. Hazleton, in 1996, 14 Cal 4th 101, that said the legislative initiative versions are identical. And, for example, the stated purpose of both the legislative and initiative versions is to, quote, ensure longer prison sentences and greater punishment for those who commit a felony and have previously been convicted of serious and or violent felony offenses, the same language. And the reason why the reform is unnecessary is because there are incredible safeguards built under the law. In other words, we have 58 elected district attorneys in the state. Each of us has discretion within our own county and our own community standards to make a determination whether or not we think each individual person should be facing a life sentence. And we make those choices every day. We look at what their prior record is and their prior history. we know oftentimes one of the best indicators of what someone will do in the future is what they've done in the past. We look at the current offense. We look at what they've done with their life in between, whether this happened when they were 18 years old, a residential burglary where they stole a bicycle from a, you know, an unlocked attached garage, versus a residential burglary where they went in when people were home and they stole property and terrorized a family. I mean, these are very different type of offenses. We look at the entire picture and we make our decision. A jury then, or either by plea or by a jury conviction, the jury has to review the facts. They have to find those convictions be true. The judge then has full power under People v. Romero, something that happened 1 year after three strikes came in 1994, which some people initially opposed, including some prosecutors, that it took judicial discretion away. The courts gave that discretion back. So now a judge can look and a judge can say, no, I don't agree with you, Mr. Prosecutor. I don't think this person should face life in prison. And I'm going to strike one or more priors to make sure that doesn't happen.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you don't think that there's anything wrong with the current three strikes law. Is that accurate?
I believe, yes. I mean, I believe that it allows for the discretion. You know, what some of the proponents complain about, and I believe me, I have total respect for my colleagues, Mr. Cooley and Mr. Gascon and Mr. Rosen, to do what they believe is right in their communities. And I understand Los Angeles County under Mr. Cooley has a policy, with a few exceptions, that says that they will not charge a third strike against someone who does not have a nonviolent current offense, nonviolent, non-serious. And that's their absolute prerogative to do that.
Yeah, go ahead. I just want to get to Mike again.
Sure. And his predecessor, Gil Garcetti, felt very different. You know, he had a different policy. And I respect their right to do what they want to do in their county. What I have an issue with is every other district attorney being told, this is what we think is right, so you should do the same thing, and we're going to take your discretion away to protect your community.
Well, so let me put that to Mike. You know, that what Gary's saying is that judges have discretion and DAs have discretion to figure out if this person who has committed this third felony really deserves to, you know, be locked up for 25 to life. Let me just put to both of you, before we get to Mike, as a Californian, one of the things that is kind of baffling to me is that the 58 counties, justice is different in every single one of them. It isn't sort of uniform justice. It depends on who's in charge, and that seems odd.
So let me make two basic points. First of all, Gary is right. Steve Cooley in Los Angeles County has implemented the policy in Proposition 36 for over a dozen years. And crime is down in Los Angeles County more so than the rest of the state in California, more so than Napa County. Crime is at historic lows in Los Angeles. I'm not saying that Steve Cooley's policy is responsible for that crime drop, of course, but that to predict that Proposition 36 will somehow hurt crime and law enforcement efforts, I think, is belied by the facts and the experience. Second, I think you're absolutely right, Holly, about consistent application of the law throughout California. Of course, we want to give judges and prosecutors some discretion in cases to consider individual circumstances. But when we have such wide disparity here in California, something needs to be done. So, for example, there's a case called Stephen Alvarez, whose third strike was simple drug possession, and his prior strikes were nonviolent residential burglaries along the lines that Gary was describing, and he received a misdemeanor sentence. This case went all the way up to the California Supreme Court, and it was affirmed as a misdemeanor sentence. I have a client whose name is Shane Taylor, who committed the exact same crime, simple drug possession. His prior strikes were residential burglaries when he was 19 years old, and he's serving a life sentence. So same crime.
25 years to life.
A life sentence with an opportunity for parole after 25 years. Same crime, same criminal background, same danger to the community. One person gets a misdemeanor, one person gets a life sentence, and it just depends on what county you happen to be prosecuted in. Now, Proposition 36 doesn't say that the misdemeanor sentence is the appropriate sentence. Under Proposition 36, somebody who commits a non-serious, non-violent crime will still get a sentence enhancement, still can get up to 10 years. So prosecutors have everything to choose between a misdemeanor for non-violent, non-serious crime to up to 10 years in prison. Proposition 36 does reduce the discretion to not be able to impose a life sentence for that crime. And right now, I mean, in Shane Taylor's case, for example, the judge who sentenced Shane Taylor and the prosecutor who prosecuted that case think that it's the wrong sentence. They contacted me and they said, you know, something needs to be done. The sentence is excessive and we can't do it under the current law. So Proposition 36 will restore what we believe is the original intent of the three strikes law. Focus on serious and violent crimes and still provide enhancements for non-serious, non-violent crimes.
And that's Mike Romano. He's director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School. He's co-author of Prop 36, which is what we're discussing on Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan. We're also joined by Gary Lieberstein, who is the district attorney for Napa County, and he is opposed to Prop 36, and I know you wanted to get in here. Let me first, though, invite our callers to join us. If you have questions about Prop 36 or the Three Strikes Law, give us a call at 866-798-8255. It's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. If you've had experience with the Three Strikes Law, we would like to know how that affected you. Give us a call at 866-798-8255. And if you're planning to vote on Proposition 36, let us know why. Also, if you have questions about it, you can call us and ask them of our guests. And if you've been the victim of a crime, how do you feel about Prop 36? 866-798-8255 is the number to call. Again, that's 866-798-8255. You can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Gary, I know you wanted to respond to Mike.
Yeah, directly on the point that Mike was just saying with what he perceives as a disparity, and he's indicating that the judge and the original sentencing judge and the DA feel the same way. Absolutely, there should be a mechanism for them to be able to remedy that. And I believe there is. I believe it's called a habeas petition. I believe that Mike, on behalf of his client, could invite a habeas petition. The DA then could choose not to oppose the habeas petition, and that person would get the relief that they were asking for. Essentially, they would be claiming disparity. They'd be claiming it was cruel and unusual punishment as applied in their situation. Now, we have a United States Supreme Court case, People v. Andrade, that took a situation where there was a nonviolent, non-serious current offense, and they ultimately found it wasn't cruel and unusual punishment. But my point is that if the DA agrees it should be changed and the original judge agrees it should be changed, then you invite the habeas. The DA doesn't oppose it. It doesn't go up on any judicial review because one of the things...
But then you have to have the means to bring that case, right? Mike wants to get...
I just want to interject. We did bring a habeas petition in the state trial court. That was denied. In the state court of appeal, that was denied. In the state Supreme Court, that was denied. In the U.S. Supreme Court, that was denied. In Shane Taylor's case, in the case where the judge and the prosecutor are with us. So to suggest that there is a mechanism right now, there just isn't. In his particular case, Proposition 36 provides that mechanism. It doesn't give Shane Taylor or anybody automatic relief. It just gives them an opportunity to go before court and say, I'm no longer a risk to the community.
So let me ask both of you, can you tell me about this population of 3,000 people that Proposition 36 would address? That you're saying, Mike, that these are people who have mostly committed nonviolent offenses that should not get them life in prison. They should get them some sort of a sentence. And you're saying, no, these are dangerous people who should be in for 25 to life, right? Yeah, so tell me who they are.
Let me start with the numbers, okay? This is effective as in May, and last week, the numbers are similar. The total prison population in California right now is just under 135,000. That's down from a high of 170,000. The three-judge panel has mandated within 2 years that population drop to roughly around 120,000, 125,000. Realignment is going a long way toward doing that, and we can talk about how that interplays in this somewhere along the way, I would hope. The three-strike population in state prison is 8,873, or 6.6% of the total prison population. 83% of those folks were sentenced before the last decade, so the bulk of the people sentenced to three strikes were sentenced a long time ago. In other words, we're exercising our discretion significantly greater now.
But what did they do, the bulk of those folks? That's what I want to get to.
And the number you mentioned, 3,000, is also low. The proponents, we believe, admit as many as 3,600 people could be subject to resentencing. The number that we've found, the maximum number subject to resentencing, is closer to 4,400.
So, Gary, let me ask you,
sure.
What would be wrong? What is the problem? If you're saying if you have a sentence that you think should be looked at again, you should present it to the court. You should go get a habeas and go before the court. Mm-hmm. Isn't this law just saying we will allow you to have a court reopen this case? It doesn't say you're automatically released, right? Mm-hmm.
What I would prefer seeing is something that's much more specific to the situation that Mike brought up, because I do think that his individual should have that kind of potential relief. What my concern is a one-size-fits-all that's fully retroactive, that could potentially release over 4,000 individuals in a situation where, you know, these people all have serious and violent histories. And when I say release, the reality is most of them will have done their time because you know, they've, most of them were sentenced before the last decade.
And let me give you
an idea of one of these people.
Okay, very quickly, though, because I want somebody who's representative so that we can,
well,
I'm just
right.
trying to really understand this.
Yeah, so I've got a guy here, I've got a couple, and I've got some from my own county, but Lupe Escobedo, this is out of Ventura County. He'd been convicted of 17 robberies in 1986 and 1987. 15 of those robberies were accomplished with either a handgun or a knife. During a number of those robberies, he and his accomplices threatened to kill grocery store employees they were robbing. He was sentenced to prison for these, got out of prison. Prior to his commitment offense, the 25 to life, arrested for felony child abuse. Released pending further investigation, then charged with possession of stolen property, but his 17 prior felonies weren't known at the time, and so he wasn't charged with those. Released on his own recognizance, failed to appear, then is spotted in a stolen vehicle parked in front of a motel, resists arrest, fights and threatens the officers. The officers go in his motel room and find a sawed-off shotgun. When he was informed the shotgun was located, he said, quote, "It's good that I didn't make it back to the room. I'm going to be doing 150 years. What difference would it be to take out a cop?"
Okay, now, so let me put it to Mike, just in the interest of time, because we're about to go to a break. Okay, so is that representative of this population that Prop 36 would address?
Of course not. And I can go, you know, match Gary case for case. But the point is that Proposition 36 only gives it somebody like that an opportunity to go back before a judge and say that they're, whether or not they're a risk to the community. So this person is not going to get relief under Proposition 36 because the judge undoubtedly will find that they continue to be a risk to the community. Proposition 36 just gives the judge an opportunity to relook at the sentence. If the person remains a risk to the community, their life sentence continues. If they're no longer a risk to the community and they've served their time, then the sentence is reduced. And it's not reduced to nothing. It's reduced to double the ordinary sentence. And they, in some cases, will get out. In some cases, will have more time to serve. But it's really a modest change to the three strikes law and just give judges an opportunity to look at these sentences and make sure that our prisons aren't overcrowded with people who no longer pose a risk to the community.
People who no longer pose a risk to the community, but you're saying, Gary, that you think these people do continue to pose a risk.
Well, and the problem
I've only got 30 seconds here.
The mechanism is not set out in the initiative. The presumption is that they don't represent a risk to the community, and the burden is going to be on the prosecution to prove otherwise. And, you know, when they talk about millions of dollars saved, that doesn't account for the extra court time and all these hearings for the prosecutors are going to have to deal with these folks, and quite frankly, for the new crimes they're going to commit if they get out.
And that's Gary Lieberstein. He is Napa County District Attorney, and he is against Prop 36. Mike Romano is also with us. He's director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School, and he was co-author of Prop 36. We're also joined by Rena Palta. And Rena, I'm going to have you speak first after our break. She's the crime and safety reporter for KPCC in Southern California. And we're also inviting you to join our discussion. What questions do you have about Prop 36, which you'll be voting on in November? And if you've had experience with the three strikes law, either as a lawyer or as somebody who's spent time in prison, give us a call and tell us your experience. 866-798-8255 is the toll-free number. You can also send us email at feedback@yourcallradio.org. How are you planning to vote on Proposition 36, and what are the questions that you have for us? 866-798-8255. I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Your Call. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is Your Call, a show that depends on listeners getting engaged. You can join today's conversation by calling 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or you can post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org, where you'll also find links related to today's show. And that's where you can sign up for the show's weekly email newsletter. Just click the email newsletter link on the right side of the page at kalw.org.
Five seconds.
For those of you joining us now, I'm Holly Kernan, and this is Your Call. Tomorrow we'll have a conversation about with the authors of Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. How do we reconcile our sexual identities with our cultural or religious traditions? Friday, of course, is our media week. The roundtable where we speak with journalists about the coverage of the week's news. And today we're talking about Proposition 36. Should California's three strikes law be reformed? We're continuing our election series with a debate on Prop 36, which if passed would change certain elements of California's three strikes sentencing law, which was enacted in 1994. So we're wondering what you think about California's three strikes law. How has it affected public safety? And what do you want to know about Prop 36? We have a full bank of callers, so I'll give out the line in just a minute when we have an open line. But you can also email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. In studio, I've got Gary Lieberstein. He is the district attorney for Napa County, and he also currently serves as vice president of the National District Attorneys Association and co-chairs the National Victims Advocacy Committee. Excuse me. He is opposed to Proposition 36, as is the California District Attorneys Association. And we've also got in studio Mike Romano, who's director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford Law School, and he is co-author of Proposition 36, which would reform three strikes. Also on the line with us is Rena Palta, who is crime and safety reporter for KPCC. And Rena, let me just pull you back into this conversation. I don't know if there's anything that you've been wanting to address as you've been listening to Gary and Mike, but one of the things that I was wondering about is that the DAs, the California DAs Association opposes Prop 36, but the DAs in San Francisco and LA, which have the densest populations and are perhaps going to be most affected, support Prop 36. So can you just talk about that kind of duality in the system?
Sure. I think this speaks to the discretion issue we were all talking about earlier. And I think what's important to point out is that, yes, Steve Cooley, the current district attorney of Los Angeles County, does support Proposition 36 and has been an advocate for three strikes reform for a really long time. But we have an election coming up in LA County, and we're going to be picking a new district attorney as Steve Cooley retires. And, you know, one of the candidates is very supportive of Prop 36 and the other is not. So I think it's interesting. You can say, you know, this three strikes could change drastically in LA post-election, like the entire office could change its priorities and who it prosecutes under three strikes. So that kind of stuff is very fluid when you have this much discretion in the system.
And let's go to some of our callers. Let's go first to Mac in Berkeley. Welcome to Your Call. Hi, Mac.
Thank you, Holly, very much. I teach in the public jail system, and I go into San Quentin from time to time. The first thing that I want to say is, in the literature that I read, the most important thing to cut recidivism rates is education. I also want to say that I totally understand that there are people in the world that you do not want to turn loose on the streets. But this concept of putting everybody in jail for a super long period of time does not make economic sense to me. It costs, what, $55,000 a year to keep a guy in jail? It's about $750 million in California. You could just as well send them to Stanford. It's so expensive. And the other piece of it is I wish people would deal with this issue with less fear, you know, and allow the judges to use their discretion for making decisions like this. That's what judges are for. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thanks, Mac. Do you, Mike or Gary, do you want to respond to that? A couple of things that he says is education is one of the big factors in reform and having people get out and have a life after prison. And then he says that we're approaching these issues with maybe too much fear.
You know, as a teacher, obviously, I think that education is terrific for everybody, of course. But we're operating under a world of limited resources, right? Our state is underfunded, and particularly our prison system is underfunded. So the idea that we're going to get realistic education opportunities for people in prison, I think, is not in the near future. Really, what the best predictor for recidivism is age of the inmate. And people, they say age out of crimes. People who are serving life sentences for nonviolent crimes in California, according to the state's own recidivism risk predictions, are among the least likely to commit new crimes if they're released from prison because they're older than the average inmate. Right now, as we've alluded to a bit, we're under a court order to release prisoners from our prison system because it's overcrowded under the realignment program. The people that we're releasing from prison early right now are a higher risk to the community under the state's own recidivism risk predictions than the nonviolent three strikers who are clogging our prisons because they're serving life sentences under the three strikes law. Proposition 36 will not solve the prison overcrowding crisis. I don't want to take too much credit, but it will help because these are the most expensive prisoners. They're the oldest. They require the most health care. They're also in the highest security prisons because of their life sentences. So they're the most expensive prisoners. They're the least likely to reoffend, and they're the oldest. These are people who have already served their time over a dozen years for nonviolent crimes, and they only get out if a judge finds that they're no longer a risk to the community.
Well, do you want to respond to that, Gary?
Yeah. Well, let me first of all, to Matt and Berkeley, I couldn't agree with you more as far as education, and I think it is a sad state, and I agree with Mike 100% that it's unfortunate under current resources that the Department of California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation is really the California Department of Corrections. And that
there isn't much rehabilitation there anymore
despite
of the budget.
Despite their best intent, because I totally agree. I mean, there is a population that, you know, when I talk to young school kids, I talk about timeouts, and there's certain people in society that need a longer timeout than others, and some of them that, you know, do need to be locked up for very long periods of time. But most people in prison are coming back out, you know, with the exception
lifers generally not.
Well, they're much more so now. Even murderers are... For the first time since I've been DA in 14 years, we've had two murderers released on parole. And that's happening more now. But the reality is that they're not getting, you know, I'm a big proponent of realignment in the governor's program because I do think we can do a lot more locally than at the state level. And the people that are coming back, we have to do things to help them reassimilate in society and get them drug and alcohol training. But I will say, you know, when we're talking about petty with a prior, there are 327 inmates out of the entire prison population of three strikers, 4%, that they're committing offenses, petty theft with a prior. And that's without looking at what their background is. Some of those people are going to not even be eligible under this current legislation because of their prior offenses. And the thing that none of us know is what the extent of their offenses were.
Okay, let me get to some more of our callers. Sure. And if you want to join our conversation about Prop 36 and reforming the three strikes law or keeping it, it's 1-866-798-8255. Again, that's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. You're listening to Your Call. I'm Holly Kernan, and I'm joined now by Cherie in Aptos. Hi, Cherie.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm a retired criminal defense attorney. And I want to say my first point is that the concern about the, you know, one size fits all, which is to me what precisely the justice system is supposed to seek. Justice equals equality of treatment. And therefore it should be, this law that where in some counties there's discretion and the three strikes law is not applied and some it is. That's not the way our justice system is supposed to work, for one thing. Secondly, there is a dismissal of the fact that most of the three-strike people that were sentenced on nonviolent crimes, that all took place a long time ago. Well, those people are still sitting in San Quentin and all over the place. And I had a case in particular in Santa Clara County where my client was connected with a Vietnamese gang. He had a prior home invasion 12 years previously, no arrests, nothing, and then he got picked up for abetting sales of drugs. He was not doing any sales. He was a lookout. He went away for life, and he had one of the most tortured histories I have ever in my life heard, and none of that mattered. What mattered to the court and the district attorney was that he had a prior home invasion 12 years previously. And then lastly, I just want to say that the argument about money and how much it would cost if Prop 36 was passed is actually quite shallow, because if you no longer are putting people away 25 to life on nonviolent crimes, there is not going to be hundreds and hundreds of hearings that are going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars.
Well, actually, Sheree, let me just clarify. I believe that the Legislative Analyst's Office has said that this Prop 36 would save the state between $70 to $100 million annually. That's
my point. That's exactly my point, is that this is going to save me as a taxpayer, you as a taxpayer, millions of dollars, because the three-strike law as it stands has cost us unnecessarily millions upon millions of dollars.
Well, thank you very much for your call. Let me go to a couple of emails and then another caller. As of now, my understanding is that officials can basically decide whether a specific person be sentenced to life in prison, with the only requirement that two of the three crimes are felonies, while Prop 36 will make it mandatory that the third strike be a violent felony in order to be sentenced to life in prison. Can you actually clarify? I think that's not exactly precise, Mike.
That's not quite right. So, under the three strikes law, your two prior strikes, the strikes that you've already committed, already served time for, need to be serious or violent crimes, and those are defined by statute. Under current law, now any third offense, almost any crime, can net you a life sentence. Under Proposition 36, we'll change that so that all three crimes need to be on the list of serious or violent offenses, with some exceptions.
And isn't one of the problems that we're talking about here the list of serious and violent offenses? Does that need to be relooked at somehow?
I don't think so. That was a big difference between Proposition 36 and the previous effort to reform three strikes in 66. Proposition 36 does nothing to change the list of serious or violent offenses. And I do want to make some clarification here, because I think that there's been some hyperbole by the other side, frankly. Proposition 36 does not change the list of serious crimes. Serious crimes includes a catch-all that is any bodily injury. If you injure somebody at all, no matter if it's elder abuse or child abuse or jaywalking, it's still considered a serious crime. So the idea that there are these crimes out there like manslaughter or elder abuse that are not being captured by Proposition 36 is just not accurate. Those are serious crimes that can net a life sentences under Proposition 36 and the current three strikes law. 36 does nothing to change those offenses.
Gary, you're shaking your head. No,
yeah,
I want you just to be briefed so I can get to more of our
lot
of callers.
That's absolutely incorrect. The injury has to be gross injury. It has to be serious injury as defined by the code. It's not any injury. And, the examples are accurate. You could have elder abuse with injury that's not great bodily injury. You could have an elder that lost their life savings. $100,000 of life savings, and the person's prior convictions could be for armed robbery, could be for kidnapping, could be for residential burglary, and that person is not going to be eligible for three strikes. And that person, if they're sitting in prison right now, is going to be eligible for resentencing. I would submit to you.
But wouldn't a judge in that case say, no, I'm not going to let this person out?
There's no way to know what a judge is going to say. It's up to one single judge. Right now, you've got the prosecutor's discretion, you've got the judge's discretion, you've got the higher court's discretion, you've got the ability of in a lot of these cases, the ability of a judge to reduce a felony to a misdemeanor if it's what we call a wobbler, a commercial burglary, possession of methamphetamine. It doesn't even get to three strikes.
Here's a couple more emails, and then we will get to John in Scotts Valley. Hold on, John. This is from Lisa. I will vote for this, but what I would really like to see is for us to go back to rehabilitating people rather than warehousing them. Perhaps we need to take a look at the billion-dollar industry that the prison system represents and ask if we are, again, more concerned with making money and less concerned about the lives of humans. Longer prison terms does not equal a successful bid at rehabilitation. Consistent treatment of prisoners and education will do more good than throwing them away. Another email from John in Santa Cruz. Thanks for this great discussion. I'm confused about one thing. The DA from Napa says that currently DAs and judges have discretion to drop sentences down and are not forced to give life sentences. They're not forced to do the three strikes law. But the gentleman from Stanford gave examples where judges felt forced to hand out life sentences and they didn't agree with that. Can you please clarify?
Well,
so go ahead, Gary, start,
sure,
but also...
Sure. I won't put words in Mike's mouth. I think he was talking about something that had already happened. But absolutely, the charging decision is up to the individual district attorney. I can tell you in my office, I have 21 lawyers. We don't charge someone with a third strike unless I've personally, as the elected district attorney, signed off and said, this is someone three strikes should apply to. Once we make that decision, we make that charging decision, the judge has an absolute right to review that. And at the time of sentencing, the judge can say, first of all, no, I don't agree, and I'm striking one or more of those strikes, so you're no longer eligible for three strikes. I briefly alluded, there's a number of nonviolent, non-serious crimes that are called wobblers. They can be charged a misdemeanor or a felony. Commercial burglary is one of those. A judge can say, no, I find this is a misdemeanor, and kick out the priors. The judge, if the judge decides a sentence to three strikes, that person still has the rights to go through the court system to have higher courts review their decision as well.
So, Mike, Gary is saying that those checks and balances are already there, but can you just clarify? John is confused. He heard you say that prosecutors and judges have felt that they had to give somebody a third strike.
Sure. So prosecutors in some offices, you know, they have bosses and they have policies that they need to follow. I think the important point here is that Proposition 36, the policy that's implemented in Proposition 36, has been tried and tested, particularly in Los Angeles County, which is by far the biggest county, most diverse county in the country, actually in California too, and it has succeeded there. Steve Cooley implemented this policy on his first week in office, and crime in Los Angeles County has plummeted. It is record lows. It's farther down than other counties in the state. Every study that has looked at life sentences for nonviolent crime show that they do nothing to improve public safety. And Proposition 36, again, will only apply to people who judges find are no longer a risk to the community. So on the one hand, we have discretion at the sentencing time. And now 10, 12 years later, we have an opportunity for judges to go back and look at these cases and say, you know, you've served your time, you're no longer a risk to the community, and we're going to reduce your sentence.
I want to get to more of our callers just because we have so many. John in Scotts Valley, welcome to your call.
Oh, thank you. The situation we have now is a particular instance of a massive injustice in our so-called criminal justice system, and that's the excessive discretion that prosecutors have. It's unjust. Prosecutors have a dog in the fight. Their promotion depends on conviction. The higher the conviction rate and the more time they put the people in jail, the better they do in getting promoted. And district attorneys, they have to get reelected, and they have to be hard-ass in order to convince the electorate to reelect them. And so I think by taking discretion away from judges, who are somewhat insulated from this kind of political pressure and don't have personal benefit at stake, taking it away from judges is a terrible injustice.
Okay, thank you so much, John. And let me get both of you to briefly reply to this. Political pressure, how much does that affect the way that these laws are being implemented?
Well, as a prosecutor of 27 years, our job is to do the right thing for the right reasons. And, John, I understand your perspective, and I respect your right to have that, but I can tell you that I view any person being charged with a crime as a huge responsibility of my office to do the right thing. And when it comes to considering a life sentence, I can tell you that I don't find any joy or celebration in pursuing a life sentence. And at the same time, I will never apologize for pursuing one in a situation where I think keeping that person secure and from my community and keeping my community safer will be the right thing to do.
Rena, have you seen that issue of political pressure? I'll get to you in a sec, Mike. You said that the DA's race in L.A. is very political.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always that political factor in district attorneys' races. They are invested with sort of the mores of the county they come from and are held to certain standards depending on where they are in the state. And that's just kind of the nature of having an elected district attorney.
And you wanted to say something, Mike, and then I want to get the questions from a few callers and then get responses for time.
All right, so I'm going to be a little wonky here. I'm putting on my teaching hat a bit. So discretion is a really tricky thing in the criminal justice system, right? On the one hand, we want prosecutors and judges to be able to consider individual circumstances and that, you know, no two crimes and no two people are exactly the same, and I think that that's generally a good thing. On the other hand, when you let in too much discretion, and right now under the three strikes law, prosecutors and judges have discretion to impose a misdemeanor or a life sentence or anything in between. I mean, it's unbridled discretion. There are all sorts of unintended consequences. One of the unintended consequences is the number of people who are serving life sentences for minor crimes. Another unintended consequence is that actually the three strikes laws apply disproportionately against African-American defendants. Now, I'm not saying that there's, you know, overt racism in the system, but the truth of the matter is that California's overall population is about 7% African American. The general prison population is about 25% African American. And the three strikes population is about 45% African American. And so the more discretion you have, the more sorts of arbitrariness and capriciousness you interdict into the system on a system-wide scale. Proposition 36 tries to constrain some of that discretion. It still provides discretion to allow prosecutors to sentence petty thieves and drug addicts longer than they currently provide for rapists, up to 10 years.
Why?
Why? Because repeat offenders deserve harsher punishments. We, you know, I certainly agree with that. You know, if you commit multiple crimes, you deserve to have sentence enhancements, and Proposition 36 maintains those sentence enhancements. It does not make sense, and there's no study, there's no experience that shows that life sentences for these types of minor crimes do anything to improve public safety. They only clog our prisons.
All right, let's go to Susan in San Francisco. Hi, Susan. We're going to go ahead and have you give us your question and your thoughts, and then we're going to go to the next caller, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for this important program and airing this issue. I'm a law professor who's been teaching criminal justice issues for more than 20 years, and before that I practiced for about 15. I think three strikes caused a crisis in California's prisons, and I welcome the opportunity to have it reformed by this proposition. I'm entirely in support of it. Right now, California's prisons have a huge overrepresentation of not just African-American, but also Latinos and poor defendants. And this proposition would go a long way toward letting people out who could go back to their decimated communities and do good. So I am entirely in favor of this proposition, and also Proposition 34, which would reform the death penalty by replacing it with life without possibility of parole. I think right now California voters have a historic opportunity to make important changes in our criminal justice system.
Thank you so much, Susan. Let's go to David in Berkeley. Hi, David.
Hi. Wondering if there's any a binder in this proposition that will channel the saved $70 million to expand the parole system, counseling for people who are getting out so they can readjust. And also, what does the Union for Prison Guards think of this?
Great. And let me just get.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David. Let me get a final question from Randall in San Francisco, and then we'll get answers, okay? Randall?
Yes, how are you? Thank you very much for the program.
Thank you.
I recently represented a client who had very similar facts to Mr. Andrade, the case that went to the Supreme Court, where he had broken into, his initial crime was breaking into a house when he was 18 years old. It turned out to be a duplex, so he was caught stealing stuff from both houses. He was charged with two separate felonies at that time. About 8 or 9 years later, he got arrested for shoplifting. Well, they discretioned, you know, to charge him with two crimes originally. They discretioned him again by turning this into petty theft with a prior, and then discretioned it to make it a felony petty theft with a prior. And again, he was sentenced about a month after the Andrade decision came down. So the discretion, if it's used to, like, overly hype up, you know, to overcharge and really pursue, it's harmful. But my main point is that also, the original three-strike law was created in a super hurry after a particularly heinous crime got a lot of press. And I think that hastily made laws, like our three strikes, are usually really horrible.
All right. Thank you so much. Let me get some response. First of all, David wanted to know where the CCPOA, the Prison Guard Union, stands on this. Does anybody have an answer? Rena, do you know?
I can't see that they've actually taken a position on this, but, you know, they're heavily affiliated with Crime Victims United of California, which is a political action committee, and that group has opposed three strikes reform.
And then David also wanted to know how the $70 to $100 million in savings would be spent, and would it be used for education or parole or anything of that sort?
That savings would go back to the Department of Corrections and, I assume, the general fund of the state, and they would have discretion to do as they see fit.
Okay, and then Susan brought up that three strikes perhaps caused the crisis in our prisons of overcrowding. Gary, you're saying no.
Yeah, that's absolutely incorrect. As I indicated, you know, the total population of third strikers in state prison is 6.6%, and the population that we're dealing with that potentially could be resentenced under these hearings is about half of that. So we're talking about maybe 3% of the total population. These are all people with serious and violent histories.
Okay, so Gary's saying it didn't cause the overcrowding.
And that's something that I would agree with, in that Proposition 36 certainly does not solve the overcrowding crisis. It addresses a small group of people who are serving life sentences for what we think are disproportionate crimes.
And then the other thing Randall brought up was that the original three strikes law was passed in a sort of in a climate of outrage over the murder of Mike Reynolds' daughter and
polyclass.
And polyclass, yeah. And so has the climate around kind of criminal justice changed over these past, 18 years?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't disagree with that observation, and that happens in a number of situations where, you know, a very horrendous crime happens and there's a reaction, and I would be the first to admit sometimes there's an overreaction. What I will say, and we haven't talked about it, is, you know, Mike referred to L.A. crime being down. Overall, and this comes from the Attorney General's office, 2005 to 2010, violent crime down by 17.6% statewide, homicides 30.9%, property crimes 22.8%.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut in on you, Gary, because we have 30 seconds left. I just need each of you gets 15 seconds to say why vote yes or no on Prop 36.
So I'll pick up where Gary left off. Proposition 36 has been tried and tested in Los Angeles County. Crime is down in Los Angeles County further than the rest of the state, further than Napa County. It's effective and conservative law enforcement.
10 seconds.
Prop 36 is unneeded reform. We talk about dollars. What about unnecessary new victims? What's the cost of victims here?
Okay, I'm really sorry that we have to leave it there and can't take more time. Gary Lieberstein is Napa County District Attorney who opposes Prop 36. Mike Romano is Director of the Three Strikes Project at Stanford University. He co-wrote Prop 36. Rena Palta is the Crime and Safety Reporter for KPCC in Southern California. And we'll put a link to web resources at our website, yourcallradio.org. You can find out more information and post your comments there. Thank you for joining us. I'm Holly Kernan, and here's what's coming up tomorrow.
How do we reconcile our inner lives with our religious and cultural identities? On the Next Your Call, we'll speak with the authors of Love Inshallah, The Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women. 25 women share their stories of reconciling who they are with where they've come from. One writes, I fear being forced to choose between two integral components of my identity, my faith and my sexuality. Join us at 10 or email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. What are your stories of self-discovery? It's Your Call with Hannah Baba and you.
Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast or newsletter, visit yourcallradio.org. You can also friend us on Facebook. Ali Budner and Malihe Razazan produce the show. Matt Martin is executive producer. And Becca Hoekstra is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.